Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. You officially have done the best out of anybody this weekend, but it was still kind of bad. Merry Christmas, everybody. All right. My name is Brent. I'm one of the pastors here, and it's always an honor to be able to teach. It's an honor to be able to fill in for our senior pastor, David, who is off this weekend, but he's going to be pitching a double header next weekend when he preaches on the weekend and then on Christmas Eve, and we're looking forward to having him back. Show of hands, how many of you would say Christmas is your most favorite time of the year? Let me see those hands, right? I love it, because we can be friends now. We can be, because I love Christmas. I love the lights of Christmas. Have you guys been to Zoo Lights yet this year? Like that? Last night, Amy and I, we went over to Candy Cane Lane. Have you been to that chaotic mess of a beautiful location here? You never get traffic in Clovis except for about 3 or 4 weeks out of the year, and it happens there in Clovis. And it was great because there was lights going on, there was parties, there was food. Did I mention there was food? A lot of food there. I love Christmas food. I love the gift giving of Christmas, but probably there are two things that I love the most about Christmas. One of them would be Christmas movies. Love, I didn't say the Hallmark Channel. I said Christmas movies, men, right? I know, there are those tried and true Christmas movies that we love. For example, It's a Wonderful Life. We love that one, right? That famous phrase, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its. Completely unbiblical, but we love it anyway. There's a miracle that happened on 34th Street. Then there are the tried and trues. You know, we love the Christmas story, don't we, everybody? Yeah, we have the Red Ryder BB gun. We love the fact that a person triple dog dares them to put their tongue on a pole. And then when a dad gets his prized possession that he won of a leg and he thinks it's from Italy because it's fragile. We love that part about Christmas or Home Alone. I'm not going to do the scream for you. But probably one of the best movies of all time would be Elf. We agree with that, don't we, everyone? We love Elf. You're not Santa. You smell like beef and what? Cheese, right? You sit on a throne of lies. But we did an informal survey among the men before the service, and we agreed that probably the best Christmas movie of all time is Die Hard. We made that decision. We all know it's the feel-good Christmas story of Bruce Willis as a New York cop who comes in and rescues Christmas. Yippee-ki-yay, Merry Christmas, right? So we love that about Christmas, but we also love the Christmas music, don't we, everyone? Last week, Pastor David made a confession, and that is that he struggles with control issues. In a moment of lapse, he let me drive him to lunch this last week, but I gave him the control of the radio, and he found his way over to XM Radio Christmas Channel, and that guy has some pretty incredible Christmas trivia knowledge when it comes to who sings Christmas songs, especially the standards from the crooners, like Perry Como. It was on the radio, and he's like, that's Perry Como. I'm like, okay, it's beginning to look a lot like what, everyone? Now, I knew the next one, because the next one came on, and I'll have a blue. We know that one. That's Elvis. I knew that one, but then the next song came on, and it was Andy Williams, and I'm like, how do you know that the most wonderful time of the year is Andy Williams? But then I knew the last one, and that was Frank Sinatra, Have Yourself a Merry Little What? Now, those are the standards. Those are Christmas songs. I grew up, not in the 60s, but in the 70s, and I grew up listening to a classic, Amy Grant's Christmas. Remember Tennessee Christmas? Did any of you grow up with that one? Four of us. Great. All right. And in the 90s, I grew up falling in love with that gal over there. Sorry, Beth, my wife Amy, right there. Yeah, and we grew up to Mariah Carey's Christmas, and we love the All I Want for Christmas. And if you've been alive in America for the last, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, there's this vocal group called Pentatonix. Have you noticed they release a Christmas album every year? Can you say saturation, guys? All right, slow down a little bit there. And we love it. Because it gets us into the time of the year, and that's what the idea behind this Christmas Carol's teaching series that Pastor Dave and I are sharing this year, and that there's something beautiful about the theological truths of a Christmas carol. Last week, Pastor David looked at the carol of Away in a Manger, and he looked at the depth of the surrender and the lordship of Jesus Christ. That is very different than a Christmas song that talks about mommy kissing Santa Claus. Okay, that is different. The lordship of Christ, Santa Claus, and mistletoe over here. This week, what we're going to do is we're going to unpack a familiar Christmas carol that is deep and rich with theological truth. And the name of the song is O Come, All Ye Faithful. Written in the 18th century by John Francis Wade, it unpacks three theological concepts that are rich to our story as Christ followers. It is the faithfulness, the joyfulness, and the triumphant nature of who we are in Christ. So Trevor and the band are going to go ahead and lead us in this song. I was a little bit surprised that Trevor asked me to solo out on this song this week because he's a professional and I'm just a hack pastor. But I went ahead and said no. But what I wanted to do, Trevor, is I wanted to get everybody to remind them what Buddy Elf says. He says, the best way to spread the Christmas cheer is to sing loud for what everyone all to hear. So make sure when Trevor asks you to sing that you guys sing along. Merry Christmas, everybody. Let's give it up for the band.
We definitely want you to sing with us. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God all, glory in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Oh, come, let us adore him.
Thanks, Trevor. Thanks, band. You know, sometimes we can take it for granted when they're here every week, but don't we have got a great band and a great leader in Trevor, what they're doing here. Thank you, guys. We appreciate what you guys do. So, what I want to do is I want to delve deep into just those ideas of what it means to be faithful, to be joyful, and to be triumphant. But I also want to just kind of unpack the elephant in the room. And that is, there's probably two groups of people here today. There are some of you that you love Christmas. This is the best time of the year. You're joyful, you're triumphant, you're excited. Your faith is strong, your joy is overflowing, and you've got your Christmas cards out, all of your presents are wrapped, and your tree is looking on point. And we want to say we hate you. No, we're happy for you. The rest of us, there's some of you that you are dreading this Christmas. You really are. You almost didn't want to sing those lyrics, "Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant." Because for you, you're feeling more the emotions of doubt. Maybe some of you are feeling depressed, maybe even feeling a little bit defeated this Christmas. Honestly, that's what happens this time of the year. There's many that begin to feel like it was a season that they were looking forward to, but it's now a season that they really are dreading. For some of you, your faith is being tested. Maybe you're even more concerned than you're even giving on publicly that the doubts are beginning to creep in. For some of you, when you're thinking about the joyfulness, really the depression is creeping in. You're struggling to keep even the smallest things in perspective. For example, the car in front of you going to church this morning, you want to turn left and their head's down and they're either doing one of three things, praying, right? Taking a quick little nap, or most likely they're texting or on social media, right? And it works out just long enough that you can't make it through the light. And that makes your whole morning like, can you believe these people? Last night for me, it was trying to get out of our parking lot. I'm like, goodness gracious, there's a right turn lane, there's a left, oh no, anyway, but no, keeping the joy this Christmas. For some of you, you've got a Christmas party that you have to go to. You're tired of wearing a stupid, dumb Christmas sweater. And how in the world are you ever going to figure out a new white elephant gift? You guys heard about these? Well, I got the perfect solution for you. It's actually, if you go to Home Goods, you can actually purchase a white elephant. It's possible right there. You're welcome. All right. But on the real, there are some of you this Christmas, and that this is going to be the first Christmas that you are an empty nester. The kids are gone. The grandkids aren't around. It used to be joyful and triumphant, and now it's like a silent night at your house. For some of you, it's the first Christmas without him or her in your life. They're gone. Maybe you're a widow or a widower, and the joy this year is a struggle. For some of you, you're feeling defeated. You're not feeling triumphant. Financially, you feel like you just got done paying off Christmas last year, and here we go again. You're not experiencing a triumphant and a victorious career right now. It's a struggle. And maybe even relationally, you're feeling defeated in the relationship with your spouse or with your kids or in life or in your friendships. And there's just some of you that you're struggling to be able to relate with the idea of how can you have that kind of faith? How can you be that joyful? How can you live that victoriously when life is this hard? Well, what I want to do is I want to share two quick bits of really good news with you, and then I want to share three bits of great news of how we can live this way. So if you're taking notes or you have your app, if you would, open those up, and I'm going to go ahead and give you a couple fill-in-the-blanks this morning so that you won't break into a Christmas coma. Ready? Number one, here we go. Jesus loves the tired and the worn out. That's good news, everyone, because there's a misconception sometimes that the only people that Jesus loves are the ones that have it all together. You see him walking into church, you feel that they all look so well, poster kid family, but if you only knew what was happening in their car on the way here. There are some of you that you don't even want to drive home at night into your neighborhood because you start seeing how pulled together everyone else's front yards are with Christmas decorations. It's the drive of shame, somebody told me last night. Others of you keep on trying to figure out excuses to tell your elementary kid of when the Christmas tree is actually going to be decorated. You can only tell them and it's in its original state out of the box for so long. In full transparency, some of you are exhausted and you're tired and maybe even feeling depressed this Christmas. This last year, Eugene Peterson, who was the author of the Message Paraphrase Bible, passed away. And what I've been finding myself wanting to do is reading the Christmas story and reading some texts through the perspective of the Message. And this next passage for me just warmed my heart how Eugene wrote it when he writes the words of Jesus when he says these words in Matthew 11, verse 28. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out? You see, I thought to myself, I just know because I talk to many of you. That's where many of us are. Remember sitting in bed last night, even the night before with Amy, and just saying, I am exhausted, and her saying, I am too, and then me saying, I think you can relate. It's interesting to note what Jesus says next. He says, I want you to come to me, and I'm going to give you what, church? Rest. When you come as you are, you don't have to clean up or sober up. You can come as you are, and he will meet you in your time of need. I don't want to step out on too far of a ledge right now, but I have a sense that there are some of you right now that you are just overscheduled, overbooked, you're overwhelmed, you're exhausted. And I need to tell you something, that the God of the universe, through his son Jesus Christ, still has the ability to give you rest. This Christmas, through Jesus Christ and the empowerment of his Holy Spirit, you can experience what is called the shalom, or the peace of God, especially to those of you who are tired and worn out. Now, the second group of people, which might be all of us, would be those that Jesus loves. And those are the people that are sick and those people that are sinful. Now, you might be thinking to yourself, Brent, what are you talking about? Well, what I'm talking about is that God knows our condition. We might not know it, or we might think it's a secret, but God knows all of the stuff that we've done, the deepest, darkest, most sinful stuff we've ever done. In recovery, there's a phrase that we use, and it's called, you're only as sick as your secrets. And some of you are thinking to yourself, Brent, I don't have secrets, and I'm not sick. I'm terminal. I'm a criminal. And there's no way in the world God would ever want me or love me or accept me. I got to change first. I got to sober up for me to be acceptable to God. And I want to remind you what our Savior Jesus says to all of us when he says these words. He says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor. In essence, you can hear Jesus saying, it's not the people that are all pulled together. It's not the ones whose kids look great in that Christmas card that you got the day after Thanksgiving. It's not the people that have it all together, but rather it's the people who are sick. For I have not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call the sinners. You know, the Bible says that we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, which means that God has come for all of us. And the good news is simply this, that if you're tired today, if you're worn out, if you're burned out, if you're sick, if you find yourself in an unlovable, sinful state, God has a gift for you. And the gift is simply this. God has given you the gift of his grace and his love through his son, Jesus Christ. And there's one thing that you have to do. And I wish I could do it for you, but you got to do it for yourself. And that is that you've got to unwrap that gift. It's a present, and you have to receive it. You have been given a gift, but you have to make a decision to receive it. God says clearly that he's loved the world so much that he's given his son, that who would ever unwrap that gift would experience everlasting life. So God loves you right where you are. If you're tired, you're exhausted, if you're sinful, if you're sick. But here's the better news. The better news is he doesn't want you to stay that way. Jesus doesn't want to leave you feeling burdened and broken and beaten. Jesus loves you as you are, but he loves you too much to let you stay that way. So this morning, whether you're watching online or you're here, I have a feeling that some of you are at the end of your rope. You're done. Some of you feel like you're flat out on your back and you got nowhere else to look but up. For some of you, you are feeling the heat in life, but God has allowed you to go through that so that you'll finally see the light this Christmas. You need to hear the truth of Scripture when it says that the light has shone in the darkness, and that light was the light of man. That we know that light to be Christ, that he was the light of the world. We know that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And we know that through Christ, he provides not only our security forever, but he changes our reality now. God wants to change us. The Apostle Paul talked about us becoming a new creation. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, if we belong to Christ, we become a new person. There's been a change that happens. There's been a transformation that happens. There was an old life that is gone, but a new life comes. So, what I like to do is I like to give you the whole message in one idea, a phrase, a sentence, and here it is simply. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down, that if you are feeling this Christmas doubtful, depressed, and defeated, one of those, all of those, I need you to know that Jesus can help you to become faithful, joyful, and triumphant. And you might be asking yourself, I'm interested. How? How do I do it? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to spend the rest of our time that we have together unpacking that idea. So if you have a pen and paper, if you have your phones open, let me go ahead and share with you one of the first ways we're going to do it. If you are taking notes, write this down, that Jesus is going to help us become more faithful. As I mentioned earlier, doubts have a way of creeping in. For some of you, you were doing great, but all of a sudden, a dream that you had came crashing to an end. For some of you, it has been an unexpected sickness or pain or diagnosis that you've received. While others, it's just been a disappointing year in general. And I just want you to know that in the midst of your darkness, in the midst of your discouragement, and maybe even in your depression, God is with you. He's with you. And specifically, God is faithful. Would you say that out loud with me, church, that God is faithful? Here we go. God is faithful. And it is a truth that is peppered all the way through Scripture from cover to cover, that we see that God is faithful and he will establish us and guard us, as been written to the church in Thessalonica. The Hebrew writer talks about a hope that we have and that it is unwavering because it is he that is promised who is faithful. God makes promises. And in Scripture, when God makes a promise, he never breaks a promise. You might have grown up in a home of people in your life that are promise breakers, but our God is a promise keeper. I've heard it said that when God makes a promise, the answer is yes and amen. So we're talking about the nature of who God is, that God is faithful, but here's the question. How can we become more faithful? Well, Scripture tells us that it has something to do with the good news of Christmas. The Apostle Paul, writing to a church in Rome, was trying to figure this whole thing out, and this is how he put it. When he said that faith comes from hearing, and that is hearing the good news about Christ. What Paul is saying is simply this, that there is a connection between the good news, the grace of God, that gift, that present that I was talking about, and our faith, our faithfulness, and if we will remain faithful. Now, one of the things that I have really enjoyed over the last couple of months has been hearing Pastor David just teach through the book of Hebrews. I hope you have too. And it's made me want to read through the book already one time. I'm making my way through a second time. And I remembered when I was thinking about this concept of one of my favorite chapters in Hebrews, which is Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to put the scripture up on the screen real quick. But I think the Hebrew writer does a great job of explaining this for all of us when he says that we need to run this race of life with endurance that God has set before us. I think why the Hebrew writer says that is that he knows that we're going to experience trials in this world. He knows that we're going to experience troubles and temptation, that we're going to go through seasons that are just downright hard. But he says, you gotta have endurance. Don't give up. And here's the key of how you're not going to give up. It says in verse 2, we do this by keeping our eyes on who, church? Jesus. That Jesus is the key to our remaining faithful. That Jesus is the champion of our life. Jesus is the one who we are to live our lives after. And it says here that the champion who initiates and who perfects our faith. If you are going through a season right now where you're struggling to remain faithful, can I encourage you, first of all, don't quit. And second of all, keep your eyes on Jesus, who is your prize. Don't give up. Some of you are in a dark season. You're having a hard time of seeing reality as it really is. You're fixing your eyes on what is seen. Scripture says we need to fix it on what is unseen. Because what is seen is temporary. What's unseen is eternal. As I've heard it said recently, when we cannot see God's hand, we need to trust God's heart. And at the heart of God, He is faithful. Church, would you say God is faithful? God is faithful. His nature is faithful. And when we will stay close to His Son, Jesus, we will be faithful as well. Number two, if you would, please write this down. That Jesus wants to help us become joyful. He wants us to become joyful. You know, on a pretty regular basis, I ask my friend Siri to help me out with some problems that I have. A lot of problems that I have to do with math, and every once in a while, dead presidents, okay? But this last week, I was preparing for this message, and I needed a good old-fashioned definition of joy. And I asked Siri what was joy, and she said, with confidence, I might add, in a British accent, that it is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. To which I was like, lies. All lies, Siri. I used to trust you, and now you lie to me like that. See, Siri is seldom wrong when it comes to math or history, but her definition of joy is incomplete. Because she says that joy is a feeling. And here's a problem with that definition. A feeling can be fickle. A feeling can be up and or can be down. And we know by reading God's word that our joy comes from who, everyone? The Lord. Our joy comes from the Lord, and He's not fickle. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And for Siri to tell me that joy is a feeling of happiness, that's a lie. Because happiness is dependent on happening. And if something good happens, I'm happy. If something bad happens, I'm sad. But I need you to know that when Jesus Christ becomes the true joy giver in our life, we begin to live out this timeless truth that we learn as a small child in Sunday school that tells us that the joy, 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 joy comes from where? Down in our? Where? Down in our? Where? Down in our? And it goes on to say, I'm happy, I'm so very happy that I have the love of Jesus. Where, church? In our heart. It is the joy of the Lord that is our strength. And He is the one from the Old Testament prophet Nehemiah that says those words to the New Testament that reminds us that Christ is the joy giver in our life. We cannot manufacture long-term joy. We're not that good and we're not that joyful. Because life is hard and it's difficult. Sustainable long-term joy only comes from God. Scripture tells us this idea that the joy comes through the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians, it says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. For the purpose of this message, let's just focus in on the joyful fruit of the Spirit. And that joy is only possible through a right relationship with our God. I've heard it said this way, no roots, no fruits. No fruit because there is no root. In our life, we need to realize that for spiritual fruit to be lived out in our life, it comes only through our relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a mission of our church that simply says this, that we want to make more and better disciples of Jesus. A couple years ago, our discipleship team came about introducing this idea of rooted into the greater adult life of our church. And now hundreds of you have gone through the rooted experience. And through that experience, you've discovered these rhythms of rooted that keep your eyes on Jesus. They keep you following in the steps of your rabbi. They become more and more of a joyful and more of a faithful disciple of Him. And so what I'm trying to say is that as faithful followers of Jesus, as joyful followers of Jesus, I wish I could say that you're going to get a pass of going through hard times, but that is not found in Scripture. Some of you are walking literally right now through the valley of the shadow of death. And I wish I could snap my finger and make it go away, but I cannot do it. But I need you to know that God is with you. There are some of you that are experiencing trials of many kinds. And it is hard for me to tell you this, but you are to consider it pure joy. Because we know this is who God is and who he has been and who he will always be. As the psalmist famously writes, he says that weeping may last in the night, but church, joy comes when? In the morning. We know that the seasons of life are hard, but God is good. Joy is more than a feeling, because our joy comes from the Lord. Joy is more than an emotion, because our joy comes from the Lord. And the reason why I know this is true is because this joy that we're talking about is at the very core of the Christmas story. In our carol that we're looking at, it not only talks about being joyful and triumphant, but it also, in this stanza, says these words, and I quote, "O come ye to Bethlehem, behold him born the King of angels." You know, the good news of great joy that we talk about is present in the Nativity. I don't know if you know this or not, if you've read the Christmas story recently, but let me just read for you two verses in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 10, that an angel will say to them, "Do not be afraid, because I bring you what, everyone? Good news that will cause you what, church? Great joy." There's the connection. Our joy is connected to the great news of Jesus Christ, that today in the town of David, Bethlehem, a Savior has been born. I just want to make this crystal clear before I move on to my last point. Jesus is the only source of joy that we have in our life. He helps us to become more joyful, but the key is our rootedness in Christ. Are you rooted? Have you come to a place where you have, number one, opened up the free gift of grace and love, received it? Have you allowed that gift, like a seed, to be planted into the fertile soil of his kingdom? And are those seeds and those roots taking deeper, deeper root in your life so that you can see the fruitfulness of joy? Guys, I just want to say, wasn't a planned plug, but maybe this is when you say, "I'm going to sign up for Rooted next year." I guarantee it, you will not regret that decision. The last thing that I want to talk about would be the fact that we can experience a triumphant life through Christ. Now, would you all say the word triumph with me? See, you're on triumph. Yeah, I heard it. I got it. We just don't use that word a whole lot in our culture. I'm going to come home from work tomorrow night, and Amy is not going to say, "Hey, Brent, how was your day?" And I'm not going to say, "Hey, honey, I had a triumphant day." I'm not going to do that, because she's going to be like, "Are you on something?" Right? You know? But I'm going to tell her, I'm going to say, "Hey, I had a great day. I had a pretty tough day, hon." See, there are those of us in life where we don't use the word triumphant, but we do use the words like, "Man, it's a struggle," or "Man, it's great." Chances are pretty good that some of you are not feeling triumphant, but you're feeling defeated in three areas. Number one, most likely relationally, that you have some kind of a defeat in your life relationally, maybe with a spouse, possibly with a sibling. For some of you, you're feeling a defeat financially, where you're looking at Christmas and having to do everything between now and next week, and you're shaking your head and you're like, "I just don't know how I'm going to be able to do this. There's more going out than's coming in." Anyone know what I'm talking about? Maybe some of you are feeling physically defeated. I mean, you're looking at the fact that you got Christmas, but then you have that next week, and then you got to get on the scale and look in the mirror and realize that you did not make good on some of the New Year's resolutions that you made a year ago. Maybe some of you got a test result this last week or this last month, you're feeling physically defeated. And I just need you to know that that is a common emotion that a lot of us can feel. But I want to remind you that our faith is not dependent on an emotion. Our faith is dependent on the truth of the Word of God. Great time for the church choir to say amen. Scripture tells us that in Christ you are more than a conqueror. Scripture tells that through Christ that the battle has already been won. Our world tells us that our identity is wrapped up in what we do, who we are, and how much we get paid. But our identity in Christ is not that. Our identity in Christ is whose we are, that we are accepted and we are significant and we find our security in Christ. Our identity is that we are dearly loved. We are not a mistake. We are loved sons and daughters of God the Father. We have been accepted. We are heirs to the future. He does not look at us and say, you're a mistake. He says, you are my child and I love you. And I know the days before you were even born. See, I sometimes feel like in the midst of the nativity, we can sometimes forget the majesty of our God. That our Messiah is mighty, and it's a mystery, but the mystery has been now made known. As the band prepares to come out, I want to read for you Isaiah, the prophet, talking about this Messiah. And this is the word picture that he paints that God laid on his heart. And I want you to lean in. Don't check out. You're going to get out here on time. Lean in. For to us a child is born. They're talking about Jesus here, church. To us a son is given. That's Jesus. And the government will be on his what, church? Shoulders. That means the world. That means power. That means all that we respect in this world. Jesus is bigger than. And he will be called a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace. And of the greatness, his government and peace, there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on forever and ever and ever. Pastor David last week talked about this away in a manger and how easy it is for us to get all caught up in this little petite baby Jesus. 2 days ago, I snapped a photo, invited all my friends to join us this weekend. Maybe you're watching online, you're here. And I snapped a photo of a nativity that we realized, Amy and I realized we didn't have one in our whole house. So we went to Target or Walmart and we bought this little, I mean, it's like literally, it's like this little nativity. And it's small, it's petite. And I sometimes think that we can see the nativity and we can see the ancient nature of this and we can forget how majestic and how massive our God is. That our God, even as a Christ child, as he was laying in a manger, he was still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. In the timeliness of 2,000 years ago, we can date, stamp, and time it. Oh, that was when Christ was born. No, Christ has always been. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. That we celebrate the birth of Jesus, but you need to be reminded of the fact that he was born to die, to be chosen to save us from our sins. That he is the author and he is the perfecter of our faith. That in the chaos of that night, that he would be the Prince of Peace. Born in the city of Bethlehem, that literally means house of bread, he would be the bread of life. On a dark night would shine the light of the world. With people bowing their heads to reverence to this king, he would later say that I want you to become my children because I will become the lifter of your heads. He was born King of angels, and we now bow down, we worship and adore him as Christ the Lord. My friends, that is the Christmas story. Oh, come, let us adore him. Faithful, joyful, and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Let us adore him. What, everyone? Christ the Lord. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm not sure where this message hits you today. I have a feeling that there are many of you that are wired, that you are tired, you are worn out. Those words that Jesus says have never needed to be heard more than today, that you can come as you are and he will give you rest. There are some of you that are sick and sinful, and I want to remind you that there's been a gift that God has given you, and it is the present of his only Son. And I can't unwrap it for you, only you can. I encourage you to unwrap that gift and make it personal and receive it this Christmas. Because if you'll do that, even when you feel doubtful, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll remain faithful. Even when you experience seasons of depression and discouragement, you can remain joyful because your joy comes from the Lord. And even when you feel like you're getting beat up in this world, you are more than a conqueror in Christ. He is with you, he's for you, and if he's with you and for you, who or what could ever be against you? Amen. So God, as we bow our heads and we pray, Holy Spirit, I pray now that you would just reveal to those who are either watching online or who are here today, whatever their spiritual next step needs to be. God, I pray that we would not allow pride to get in the way. I pray that we would not allow business to get in the way, but that we'd respond to you. Maybe responding to you today by saying, I receive that gift. I make you Lord of my life. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Maybe for others, it's the reminder that we need to find our joy in the Lord. We need to find our faithfulness in Christ. Whatever it is, I pray that we will make those decisions and those steps for your glory today. We pray this in the name that is above every name, that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord of all. And all God's children said, amen and amen. Would you please stand to your feet at this time as Trevor and the band lead us in this final carol.